This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening. President Obama's nomination of Federal Appeals Court Judge Merrick Garland to replace Antonin Scalia on the Supreme Court will be a major issue in campaigns for the Senate and for president. We'll have a lot more on the primary results from last night and the state of America democracy coming up this hour. But we are taking a look at President Obama's pick for the Supreme Court. I was joined by Eric Citron. He's a partner at Goldstein & Russell, also a former clerk to Justices Sandra Day O'Connor and Elena Kagan, and a guest contributor to SCOTUS blog.
Chief Judge Garland of the D.C. Circuit is a moderate, extremely thoughtful, extremely smart judge who is, you know, extraordinarily fair to the litigants in front of him and, you know, one of the most likely people to call cases right down the middle and to be very responsive to the arguments that the people are making before him. I actually am preparing a case that was supposed to be before him on a panel tomorrow morning. I'm not sure if he's going to show up for work or not after today's nomination. But, you know, he is the kind of judge anyone would be very happy to have their case in front of, because you know you're going to get someone who's both extraordinarily smart and extraordinarily fair.
And Eric Citron, you know, Merrick Garland was clearly moved during his remarks in the Rose Garden after being nominated. But what does it take for a judge like him to agree to this? He was attacked before he was even named officially. Why would someone like him enter a fight that's highly political with what appears to be very little chance he'll get a vote, much less be confirmed?
You know, I think there are two reasons. One is there is a chance that he will be confirmed. And as Judge Garland said, this is both a lifelong dream and the greatest, you know, possible public service that he could possibly imagine to provide. And so if there's even a small chance, he'd like to take it. At the same time, I would say, you know, this is not a call that you refuse, in part because when a president from either party calls on you to stand as a nominee for a job like this, it is itself a form of public service and one that Judge Garland is obviously honored to be a part of, to basically fulfill your role as a nominee. And so, you know, I think that he would be very unlikely to actually say no to the president.
Eric Citron, thanks for joining us.
For sure. Thank you for having me.
Eric Citron is a former clerk for Justices Sandra Day O'Connor and Elena Kagan. He's a guest contributor to SCOTUS blog. Well, the president's nomination of Merrick Garland for the Supreme Court now goes to the Senate, where a GOP leadership and GOP rank and file says they won't even consider the nomination. David Herzenhorn is congressional reporter and my colleague from our partner, The New York Times. David, welcome.
Good to be with you.
Listen to the president in his own words talking about this nomination heading to the Senate.
To suggest that someone who has served his country with honor and dignity, with a distinguished track record of delivering justice for the American people, might be treated, as one Republican leader stated, as a political piñata, that can't be right.
David Herzenhorn, Chuck Schumer says if Merrick Garland can't get bipartisan support, no one can. What's the message to the GOP Senate here?
Well, the other important thing that we heard the president say was that if Republicans refuse to meet with Judge Garland, which is what many of them have said, that they would not even meet with any nominee sent up by the president because no action will be taken. Obama said this will show a judicial nomination process that is, quote unquote, beyond repair. And that's very significant. There's no question that Judge Garland, you said, is willing to accept this nomination because you have to have some faith in the system working one way or another. And in fact, Democrats will now step up their fight. The pressure has been on already for weeks, but it's been a very theoretical argument. Now they have a face, a name to put with their insistence that Republicans take action, and already you're seeing a substantial ratcheting up in the pressure. Patrick Leahy, the senior Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, has already put out a statement saying if you go by the normal time frame of past Supreme Court nominees, that a confirmation vote for Judge Garland should take place before Memorial Day. And he's urging the Senate to take that kind of swift action. So we'll see a lot of pressure. The president said Garland will be up at the Capitol beginning tomorrow. So we're certainly going to be here expecting his appearance and to see just how far Democrats go in sort of trying to draw out the theater of this. You know, will he be knocking on doors that won't be answered, or will they simply begin by bringing him in to meet with the Democrats and making it known that he's here in the Capitol building and Republicans are just not willing to speak to him?
David, the White House has made it known that seven sitting GOP senators, including Orrin Hatch, a couple of others, voted for Merrick Garland when he was nominated to the U.S. Appeals Court back in 1997. That's a pressure point for them as well here.
There's no question, and it may be a little bit misleading as folks look back at Garland's confirmation vote in 1997 and see that there were 23 votes against him. Many of those no votes were actually based on a larger fight that had nothing to do with him, which was really about the number of judges needed on the appellate court for the D.C. Circuit. And in fact, as you saw, Orrin Hatch, senator from Utah, a senior member of the Judiciary Committee, former chairman of that committee, saying very clearly he voted in favor of Garland, but saying at the time there's no one who could say that Garland was not qualified to sit on that appellate court. And I think we're going to hear those quotes on the Senate floor again and again and again in the coming weeks as Democrats remind everyone that, in fact, there was almost unanimous agreement about the qualifications of Judge Garland, even if there was disagreement over whether, in fact, there was a need for another judge on the appellate court.
David Herzenhorn, congressional reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of The New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.